Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.
Assalamu alaikum and hello everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Today we have Bradley Sotong here with us. Thank you so much, Bradley, for taking out your time.
Walaikum salam. Good to be here.
Awesome. So Bradley, we would like to know, like, how did you get started into this e-commerce space and in this Amazon space?
Well, I think my first entry to e-commerce was around 1999, around there. I had just come back from New York and I was working in a corporate office for a fast food company. There's this fast food chain in America called Hot Dog on a Stick. And I was working as the assistant to the CEO, as a secretary. And on the side, I started fixing up my car. You know, Howard remembers back in those days in California, this was the time of Fast and Furious. The first Fast and Furious movie came out and everybody was into like doing car parts and things. And so I had a Korean car. I've always tried to do things differently. You know, like I've been a sumo wrestler. And like, I'm like, what is something weird that I can do? So in those days, for fixing up your car, you know, it was Nissan and Honda and Toyota, you know, the Japanese cars. But me, I'll say, how can I be different? So I got a Korean car. Now, nowadays, you know, Hyundai and Kia, these are like, you know, high quality cars. But back in those days, nobody wanted to fix up a car with, you know, that was Korean. So I was different that way. So I couldn't find any parts for my car. So what I did was I found a company in Korea that made like, you know, bumpers and exhaust and stuff. And I was like, I want all this stuff for my car. And I was thinking about, wait a minute, there's other people, weird people like me who like Korean cars. So it's probably a pain for you to ship this stuff. You know, how about I start a warehouse for you and then I'll be your distributor here in the States and I will get my parts for my car and then I could make some money. And then, so that's how it started. So I got a warehouse here. I quit my day job. And so I was like 20 years old and then running $1 million, you know, online e-commerce company for Fast and Furious parts for Hyundai. So that was like my first entry into e-commerce. And from there, you know, I did that off and on for years and years. And then I went back to the corporate world, but I actually got my start on Amazon, you know, around 2016, 2015, the original Korean company that I was partnered with for the car parts, they were like getting into like cell phone cases. You know, that was what Howard was into before. And even, it's kind of funny, like there were some connections between him and some of my partners on that way before I even knew Howard. But they didn't know what they were doing, but they're like, hey, let's put these cell phone cases on Amazon. But you know, they didn't know anything about anything. But because they were so new and they really were good at images and stuff like that, like they were the first on Amazon to do like 3D renderings for images. Like, but it wasn't because they were smart. It was just complete coincidence. They were just like, let's try this, you know? And so like we were moving like thousands of phone cases a day. It was ridiculous. You know, like, you know how many phone cases can fit on a container. We were bringing in 40-foot containers of phone cases like every week, more than once a week. It was crazy. And so like I just worked, you know, for them, but kind of like as the warehouse guy and as the money guy, because they were all Korean. So all the company was in my name. And then so I provided the warehouse and I was like shipping stuff to FBA. I didn't even know what FBA was. I didn't even know how that worked. They kind of kept the seller central side to them. And so that was my first, like, kind of like, you know, being part of an Amazon business. And then after that, I broke with them because, you know, we had some differences. And then I was like, I need to like learn Amazon. So I just went to a random conference. It was Zon Squad Live in like 2017, 2016. And that changed my life because I was like, wow, I had no idea this whole world existed and how to get to page one. And you know, influencer marketing, I was like, it opened up a whole new world, because until then, all I knew was about how to put FNSKU stickers on phone cases and send it to Amazon. So I just dedicated myself for a few months to learning Amazon. But instead of start, you know, I didn't have any money. So instead of starting to sell on Amazon myself, what I did is I just made myself a consultant for Amazon sellers, including my former partners, you know, because they didn't know what they were doing either. That's why their business failed. So I just became a consultant for Amazon sellers. And yeah, that's pretty much how I got into Amazon.
Okay, awesome. So Howard, how did you end up meeting? You need to unmute, Howard.
Sorry, I got some technical difficulty this morning. How did I meet him? Okay, so I think it was through Anthony. He introduced me to Bradley, right? Is that right, Bradley?
Yeah. I think it was, yeah.
And then we went to, he was, I think we said, oh, let's meet at Macau. Was that the first time, right?
Was that the first time we met, or did we meet before in Irvine? Remember we went out to Mexican food?
Yes. Oh.
Was that, I don't know which one was first.
No, it was before. It was before, I think.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So I remember now. So it was like, I was like in China, and I guess somehow Bradley was around that area. So he said, hey, let's meet in Macau. And then we went to Macau and I met him, and at one of the grand hotels, I forgot what the name was like, but it was great because that's one of my favorite place. And then for some of these people who are like against shark fin soup, I guess we were doing.
Yep, that was my first time ever having that.
Chicken with shark fin soup, I believe it was, something like that. It's not cheap.
All right, great. Okay, so let's come back to today's topic, like Maldives honeymoon launch strategy. So, Bradley, like, how did you come up with this name, like Maldives?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there's a story behind it.
It was just so that I could get free trips to Maldives. No, of course not. So basically, what happened was when I first came to Helium 10. Like my specialty before Helium 10 was launch. Like I was like one of the biggest customers of what was it called? What was that called? Zon Squad was the name of the group, but Zomblast, I think. Like, because I had so many clients that were coming to me for doing launching, and I would use Zomblast for all of them. And so that was like my passion, like figuring out, you know, how to do things with launch. And actually that was how I was discovered by Helium 10, is because I started using Helium 10, but then I would go in the Facebook groups and everybody would ask me questions about launching. So that's always been one of my passions. So when I started working at Helium 10, I stopped being a consultant, but then that's when I started my own businesses on Amazon. And then of course the Project X. And so that still was my passion about launch. So I would always do case studies. Like what you know, I sell on Amazon now and I do probably, I think this year is only maybe $900,000 I'm scheduled to do, but I don't make much profit at all. And the reason is because I use all my profit to like just test crazy things, like crazy ideas I have and try and do new strategies and things. And so that's what I've always done here at Helium 10. So when I, you know, back in the early days of, you know, when I was with the company in 2018, I was always just trying new methods of launching. And of course, you know, in those days, it wasn't even really search find buy that much. It was still like two-step URLs and things. And so I would always try and see what's working. And then all of a sudden I started noticing without trying, like some of my launches would just have like 10x the impact, you know, the ROI as others. And it was, you know, I can't say that, oh, it was because I am so smart and I did some amazing strategy. It was kind of like luck, you know? So then I was like, well, this is happening sometimes. I need to reverse engineer what is happening so that I can do this on purpose. And so it's not, you know, luck or coincidence or something. And then, so I figured out different aspects that kind of made the launches a lot more powerful. And then, so I was like, okay, this is cool. So I was like, this all has to do with the honeymoon period. You know, we always know about the honeymoon period on Amazon, but I was like, this is like a different kind of honeymoon. This is like honeymoon on steroids. And so I just Google search. I was like, what's like the most expensive honeymoon that you can have? And then number one in Google, it came out as Maldives. So I was like, you know what? Let's call this the Maldives honeymoon strategy. And I've always been one to just like put random names. Like, I'm not going to go make up something like A10 algorithm and try and say, oh, this is a real thing. Yeah, there is A10 and A11 and A12 algorithm. That irritates me when people say that sometimes, because I'm like, there's no such thing, you know, as that. So like, I've always been upfront, hey, this is not an official Amazon term. This is just me having fun with a name. But yeah, that's the origin of that.
Okay, that's a pretty like funny story, I can say. That's cool. Okay, so like, what is actually Maldives honeymoon launch strategy? Like, how do you like?
Yeah, there's a lot of aspects of it, you know, and some of it has changed, you know, because you know, now we can't use like two-step URLs and search, find, buy. But But basically the main concept is to like set yourself up for success that you're going to have the biggest bang for your buck. And that's the whole, you know, like supposedly if you have a honeymoon from a real marriage in Maldives, you're really setting yourself up for a good wedding there. Where did you have your honeymoon, Howard?
I think it was like Europe or something like that. I don't remember exactly where it is.
Yeah. Do you know Kevin King actually had, he proposed to his wife in the Maldives. And so that's why they've been able to last. So Maldives is the key. But anyways, so how do you set yourself up for like the most success? So there's different aspects of it. One of it is the thing that worked for me every time is I've always had my own warehouse. So I never had to create my ASIN before, you know, the product was manufactured in China in order to put the FN SKU sticker on. You know, most sellers did that. So what I would do is I would just not create the listing. I would have all the products shipped to me. And then I would put, I've always had my kids work for me. You know, now they're big, but you know, they've been putting FN SKU stickers on my products since they were like 10 years old. But I would sticker it here. And then the same day that I start the listing, I would get my first sale. So that was like one aspect. So that's not requirement, but 10 out of 10 times, if I do that, I get more bang for the buck. Now, a lot of people I know out there can't do that. You know, they don't have their own warehouse in the back of their house, you know, like I do. So you know, it still works almost every single time if you set the, you know, launch date in the future. But for me, that was one aspect of it. I would not even create the listing until I was ready. And then how I would get sales on day one is I would always dual list my listings, one FBM, one FBA. And from day one, like within 1 hour of the listing going live, I would make sure that I would get FBM orders. Now, back then, you know, I was using, you know, services like AZRank and RankBell and stuff to make sure I start getting those orders. But nowadays, it's just like do crazy, you know, bid on PPC to make sure I have orders. And it's going to the FBM SKU until the FBA is live. The FBA SKU, I wouldn't make live until it's distributed across the country, you know, a little bit more. So I'd watch my inventory. So that's like one step. Even before then, like even before I pick a product, it's part of the Maldives launch strategy, in my opinion, to pick keywords or to pick a product that has keywords that have low, what we call title density. And this means how many listings on page one have that exact searched phrase in phrase form in the title. You know, you look at something like collagen peptides, like out of 50 listings, maybe 43 of them have collagen peptides as a word in the title. So that doesn't mean, oh, I can never get to page one, but it's going to be super hard. You have something else like, I don't know, coffin key holder or something like that, some random keyword. Only one person has it in their title. You can get to page one maybe in one day without even doing anything almost, because if you're one of the only ones that have in the title. So that's like a big part of it is, can you get a few keywords that nobody else, almost nobody else, like only one to three people have it in their title, and then get to page one. So that's another aspect of it. But there's a lot of multiple aspects. One other thing is when I'm doing my listing optimization, of course, I have to put all of my niche's main keywords in there. But I also make sure that I'm optimized for complementary products. For example, if I have a coffin shelf, I get all the main coffin shelf keywords that the other competitors are ranking for. But then I'll also look at the top 10 keywords that are driving sales for a coffin mirror or maybe a skull. If there's data that shows that there's frequently bought together something I saw the other day, an ice mold, like an ice mold that skulls. You know, if you're some weird gothic person who loves shelves shaped like a coffin, you're probably some weird person who would like ice cubes that are shaped like a skull, because, you know, you're creepy or something like that, right? So if I see that there's data that person kind of buys that, I'm going to look at the top 10 keywords that drive sales just to that ice maker. Now, it doesn't mean that if I search ice maker or coffin ice maker or something or skull ice maker, that it's guaranteed that I'll get a sale. But what I'm doing is I want to make sure that I show up in PPC for keywords that are related to there, because again, this is the same kind of customer. So in order to make sure from day one, my auto campaigns and other campaigns will show up for that kind of product, and Amazon relates me to that product, I'm going to put their top 10 keywords also in my listing so that I don't have to wait for Amazon to consider my relevancy to that product. Like from day one, Amazon's like, oh, wow, you know, look at this product. It has the same keywords as this product. We're going to go ahead and relate it. So that's another aspect of it. There's a lot of other things, but those are like some of the main aspects of it. And all of this is before launch. Like I'm not even talking about launch, but it has to do with launch.
All right. So like what is your like procedure? Like once you put one keyword in the title and once it gets ranked, then you will remove that keyword and put another one?
Not really. I don't like doing that because sometimes you'll lose a little bit of your ranking, or Amazon gets confused and your ranking starts doing crazy things. So that's why I try and make sure the main keyword is there from day one. Now, sometimes the one that I'll remove is maybe just a random, like another keyword that's not the top three or top five keywords that are in the title. And it's just not, I didn't get any traction from it. And then there's another keyword that I just can't get traction. Maybe I'll switch it out. But the main keywords, you know, like coffin shelf is in our coffin shelves. I'll never, ever take that out of the title because that's the main keyword and I need to stay there. But if there's like just a secondary keyword that it's not so important and has to be in the title, maybe I'll take that out and put another one in there if I'm having trouble ranking. And I've done that many times where like, you know, I'll get some orders on this keyword, but I just can't get to the top of page one. Well, I switch it. I put that in the title. And yeah, now I get a couple of PPC orders. Boom, I'll get to the top of page one. But yeah, the main keywords never take out.
Yeah, I mean the same. Like the main keywords should remain there. And yeah, you can say the long tail keywords or the secondary keywords, you keep switching and keep ranking.
I don't keep switching. I only do it like if I really need to. Like if there's like another keyword that maybe in the beginning wasn't a main keyword. But as we know, like main keywords change sometimes. Like buyer behavior changes over time. So like maybe 1 year later or even a couple months later, there's another keyword. It's like, man, this is like one of the top keywords, but I just can't seem to get it to page one or to the top of page one. That's when I'll change it. But I usually don't like changing my listing too much unless it's necessary. You know, like I'll re-optimize the listing like once every 5 or 6 months. But as far as changing the title, I'm very careful with only doing that on special occasions.
Okay. So like, you are only focusing on like PPC to rank the keyword or any external traffic you are doing or any other stuff?
I suggest to people to do external traffic and I'm going to be experimenting with that. But for me, I've been able to get to page one on all of my product launches since the terms of service change just with PPC. Sure. Yeah. And then I also use services like like for example, AZ Rank. They changed their model. You know, they used to be one of the top search, find, buy companies out there. But then obviously once Amazon said, hey, nope, you can't do that anymore, then they're like, oh, we better change. And so one thing I do with them is I get a lot of, and this is important for any, you know, Amazon seller, regardless of terms of service, is I use them to get a lot of feedback. You know, that they have, because they were a search, find, buy service, they have, you know, thousands and thousands of buyers out there. So they're like, what do we do now that we can't use them for search, find, buy? So now they're almost kind of like a data service where they'll have their customers still buy the product, but now they give you all kinds of feedback. So what I do, like let's say I'm launching another coffin shelf or something, I would give them like some keywords like coffin shelf, gothic decor. You know, I would pick like six main keywords, and then I would tell them, hey, I need you to put a poll to your buyers. Search for these. Which one makes the most sense for my product? Like, which one would you search for? So I'll get real buyers' feedback. But at the same time, they still are going to, you know, search. Theoretically, they're going to search for one of those keywords. Now, there's also the option is they can pick their own keyword. Like, hey, just pick whatever you want to find this product and then go ahead and buy it. And then after that it doesn't end there. This is not like for ranking purposes. Otherwise, it would be against terms of service. It's like they grade you on the whole buying process. So they actually go to the competitors' listings too that are on that same search term. And they say, hey, you know what? Their image is better than yours. Or I like their title. Or look at their price. And so we do it that way. And then I get all kinds of feedback on the actual product. And so it's not just about ranking. The only other kind of thing I do also is sometimes I still do use a two-step URL, but it's not at all for ranking because obviously we can't do it. But what happens, I'm sure many Amazon sellers out there know, sometimes if you have a brand new listing, Amazon's relevancy doesn't always just like kick in for everything that you think it should. and you'll be have PPC campaigns and you have a keyword that you know you're indexed for and it's important, but you will not get any impressions, like zero impressions on that keyword. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and have a two-step URL, like a field ASIN two-step URL, and I'll have just two people buy it with that keyword. And usually that's all it takes. On day three, I'll start getting impressions in PPC. So some people, there's people who might say, oh, that's against terms of service. But in my personal opinion, this is not, I'm going to hide my Helium 10 logo. my personal Bradley Sutton, instead of Helium 10 hat, this is my BS, my Bradley Sutton hat. I'll put that on. My personal opinion is that that's not against terms of service because I'm not trying to get to page one or I'm not trying to manipulate PageRank. All I'm trying to do is send a signal. I'm sending some signalytics to Amazon saying that, hey, in advertising, my product is relevant to this keyword. And so that's how I like justify that in my personal opinion.
All right. And like, what is your PPC campaign strategy? Like you are going after like the exact campaigns or broad or phrase, auto?
I run broad and auto from day one, but my main budget from the first 3 weeks of launch is exact manual campaigns for like my targeted top 5 to 10 keywords. So I make sure I'm showing up at the top of the search and I have really strong budgets because that's how I'm getting my what used to be search find buy. Because I mean, that's what, it's not like search find buy is against the rules. It's like when you're trying to incentivize it, but every day billions of people or millions of people buy searching, finding and buying. But you know, that's just what they do organically. So the way that I still make that happen without me using a service like, you know, these other ones is by just making sure that it's at the top of the page in PPC. And then I always start with either some like crazy coupon or I just start at a really low price, you know, like where, and there's no magic formula. It's different for every product, but basically you have to ask yourself, you know, here's this new product and has zero reviews or low reviews and nobody knows my brand name. At what price point would somebody searching for this be like, you know what? I don't know who this product is and has zero reviews, but you know, the price is so good, I'm just going to go ahead and buy it. And so that's different for every product. You know, sometimes that's 50% off, sometimes it's 75% off, whatever it is you do that. And then so you kind of have to be watching your sales because, you know, it could go viral or something like that. And then if you have some 75% off, your inventory could be wiped out and it's all on one keyword and you don't want that. So since it's all in PPC, you have to be monitoring your PPC almost in real time. And then you use like the Helium 10 CPR number, like how many orders per day for 8 days do you need to get to page one? And then, all right, I'm checking that PPC. And then if I get 5 orders and that's all I needed for today, I'm going to turn off that target until tomorrow. And then hopefully the impressions go to the other keywords. And so you kind of have to be watching that and make sure that you don't get too many orders. And that's why for me, I like starting with FBM. You know, on the smaller items. I know like if you have a supplement or some product that you're going to sell 100 units a day, you know, you can't really do FBM. But I like going into smaller niches. So I only need like 10 orders a day. So if FBM, it works just fine. And then I always set my inventory at like, you know, 20 units so that even if I'm not watching it nonstop, I never run the risk of just selling out all my inventory at a low price because I only set, I can set that FBM inventory number.
All right. And like, what is your strategy to like price up the product again? Because it is really easy to lower the price, but it is really hard to like price up to the original level.
Yeah. So for that, that's why I only use the coupon or I'll use the sale price, you know, so I'll have the base price be $20 or whatever I know is my regular price. But yeah, if I were to put that price to like $5, oh, it would take me forever to raise that price up, you know, without getting the buy box suppressed. So I'll use the sale price feature that Amazon has.
All right. Great. Howard?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the people who wants a higher conversion in the beginning, right? Because at honeymoon, they want to make sure that give you a chance to fight and compete with other big sellers who are on the first spots, top of search, high review count, you know, things like that is like hard if you're a brand new seller. That's what that honeymoon phase is for. And, you know, usually it looks at like 60 days-ish of your data. And then like Bradley said, it's based on how spread out your inventory is as well throughout the FBA network. Yep. There's this thing called relative speed score in Amazon related to your item and the location of the seller, a buyer, I'm sorry. So like every zip code has different speed. So they usually find the one with the closest to the buyer. Well, usually closest to the buyer is the fastest. So within that, Amazon has this really crazy system in their fulfillment network, and they all know how long does it take to get to the customer. It's all mapped out. So if there's closer and it's faster, they'll put you up higher. So that means that the more inventory, like what Bradley said, he'll wait until like more of his inventory gets spread out through the network. Yep. Then it will get closer, usually, right? Closer and faster. So that's why when you see on Helium 10, I believe if you do the 1 hour tracker, you'll see that most of your products will fluctuate really crazy in the beginning, you know, like up and down, like, because I believe you're using proxies, different proxies too.
We use different, all different geolocations, different browsers, you know, things can be like that. But the other tool that is important, it's important what Howard is talking about. I didn't know that was what it was called, but I can just tell that, hey, you know, obviously, you know, like let's say if you just send your inventory to Amazon and goes live, but you send it to like the Ontario, California warehouse, somebody in New York, you know, in Brooklyn is searching my product, it's going to tell them like, oh, this is going to deliver in like 2 weeks and your conversion is not going to be good because, you know, who wants to buy a prime item that will take 2 weeks? So we have another tool in Helium 10 called Inventory Maps. And so you could refresh that every day and then you'll see where in America all of your inventory is distributed, like which warehouses. So until you're comfortable that, okay, this is, you know, enough distribution, now I'll turn on my listing.
Because then that's where you see your, it's called a velocity of sales, right? The more velocity of sales, the higher you get ranked, you know? So it's what Bradley's honeymoon period kind of talked about, right? What he was just saying before. So the more it's spread out, the more chances of you getting more sales and faster, and you'll get higher up in speed during that period of time.
All right. So guys, if you have any questions, please put them on the comment section and we will be taking those questions in like within a couple of minutes.
Where are you located, Chan? What city?
I'm from Wazirabad.
Where is that? What's the airport that's closest to there?
Lahore.
Okay. Yeah. I've been to Lahore, Karachi, Islamabad, Peshawar. Yeah. Howard, have you been to Pakistan yet?
No, actually we have an office in Pakistan. We have an office in Pakistan and I'm going. Let's go together. I know you always go like twice already, right?
That's one of my top four countries in the world to visit. The food, the hospitality, the architecture, the nature, everything is great there. So you and I will have to go visit.
That was a plan. I'm thinking about going soon. Yeah, let's go together. I was thinking about traveling all over like different parts of Pakistan, maybe just do meetups or do some kind of brief thing. It'll be fun. Last time I saw you was in Mexico, I believe, right?
Mexico. Yeah, that was where I got COVID. But every time I went to Pakistan, I was with like 1,000 people in these meetups. And you know, all together, nobody's wearing masks. I never got COVID once. So I don't know how I got it in Mexico, but let's go back. I guess interview, you know, Matt, I learned about Matt Altman from the professor's like pandemic events and your in-person events. And so I just interviewed him on the podcast. I didn't realize he actually spent a month there in Pakistan too last year. And he manufactures half of his products now.
He does. Last time I was, he was there traveling. He had a wedding and he had people. I believe he had told me about, he was hosted, I guess. And someone, they had like people who with machine guns or maybe, I don't know.
That was it for me. I was with the enablers group over there and they provided like security in a couple places and they had like some machine guns. And so I felt very safe. But even when I went to Peshawar, I didn't have that and I still felt safe. It was like totally fine.
It's crazy. So I'm like, Zeeshan, you're going to take care of me, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's very silent all of a sudden. I don't know.
No, you guys don't need to worry about it. Like, people really want you to be here, and like people really want to meet you people in person, because like there is a restriction, you can say, or you can say it is really hard to get a visa for US. Or
that was the hardest place to get the visa.
But isn't didn't you say it was easier now? Didn't you say it was easier now?
It is easier now for US people to come in, but it is like still hard to get a US visa. And on the other hand, you need a lot of like a really good amount of money to visit US and to stay there, and like the accommodation expenses and the other expenses, all stuff. So people really, really, really love you guys and really want to meet you. And I'm damn sure like we will get you here pretty soon, very soon, Howard.
Of course. Let's see. I want to have us go and have some fun over there, Bradley. You should come with us.
I'm down.
Yeah, let's go.
I was missing it so much. Last week, I searched here in San Diego for Pakistani food. And so there's a place, it's called Lahore something. It's a coincidence, but yeah, it was great. So Howard, if you want, next time you're down here in San Diego, if you want a preview of the good food over there, I have a place in Rancho Bernardo. I'll take you, that has a great Pakistani food.
Sounds good. I miss San Diego. That's where I'm from. Like, well, went to school, you know, UC San Diego. That's really fun for me.
Okay, so let's take like a couple of questions.
Okay.
Okay, we have one here.
So compliment, yeah. So those keywords from the other products, I'll integrate. I'll find a way to integrate it, you know, into the listing if I can, you know. And it's just the same principle as always. Like you try and get stuff that, you know, into your description or bullet points that make sense. Now, like in a coffin shelf, how would I get, you know, how would I implement ice, you know, ice skull? But you know, skull, it would be easy to integrate. But you know, ice might not make sense. So if there's a word that just doesn't make sense and I can't get it organically into the front end of my listing, I'll put it into the back end of the listing. And you know, that's one cool thing about the listing builder in Helium 10 is we're still connected to the subject matter. You know, like almost all categories, you know, unless you have, you know, some special flat files, if you're just editing your listing in Seller Central, you don't have access to subject matter anymore in most categories. But if you use listing builder, you still have those five spots. And so I can sync my listing. And so I'll put my secondary keywords there or in the search terms. And there's another field. It's not in Helium 10, but it's just in Amazon. Oh man, I forgot what it was called. I made a blog about it, but there's this new field in the back end of Amazon listings on the details page, and it's fully indexable in like 10 minutes. Like search terms, the back end search terms, they now call that generic keywords in a lot of categories. And a lot of them de-index. You know, like before you put something in search terms, it's indexed in like 10 minutes. Now, half the keywords in some of my generic keywords, it's not indexed anymore. But this other field that I found, I put some stuff in there that weren't indexed in search terms. 5-10 minutes later, as soon as the listing updated, it was indexed. So like now there's some new hot fields that are in the back end of the listing. But yeah, there's plenty of room to get these keywords in there in the back end.
I mean, I always tell my people, like, hey, when you go in, you want to make sure you fill out all the fields, right? Mm-hmm. And make sure that, you know, no one can insert keywords in there as well to protect yourself. But another thing is to see which ones of the fields are displayable, meaning you could see from the outside, from the PDP, product display page, and which ones are the searchable ones. So, you know, because some like little fields can be searched and you can actually get more keywords in there.
All right, so next question is what
to do if product having more clicks and not enough conversion, like PPC always high ACoS between 70-80%. Well, you know, there's different things there. You know, you're talking about different things there. You know, ACoS is one thing. You know, sometimes I live with a high ACoS. Like if I know I have to keep this product, you know, high on the page, you know, like if coffin shelf is my main keyword and my ACoS is 50%, I'm looking more at my tacos, my total ACoS, and as long as I can keep that under control, I'm fine with a high ACoS. You know, I'll take that. But as far as if you think that there's too much clicks and not enough conversion, you know, I would first look at some of the Amazon tools like search analytics you know, to kind of see what the how my brand's conversion rate is compared to overall, you know, for that keyword. You know, maybe you think that it's not a high conversion, but it just, it's kind of like the standard. But if you do see that, hey, you yourself have a bad conversion rate or number of clicks to purchases compared to the market overall, well, then that's when I use, like, you know, those services where I can get the feedback or PickFu. You know, there's a PickFu inside of Helium 10 called Audience, where I say, hey, if you click this product, you know, like, what do you think of this listing? There's something that you think your listing is perfect, or your images are great, or your title is great, or your price is great, but obviously it might not be if your conversion rate's worse. So something after somebody clicks that page is not connecting with the customer. You've got to do your market research and testing to see what that is. And hopefully, you know, using PickFu or Helium 10 Audience or like AZ Rank or one of these services where you can get real feedback from customers, you'll figure out what's wrong with yours compared to the other products that maybe have a better conversion rate than you.
So it's really important to have high conversion when you're launching, right? So you, like these PickFu and other services, you know, is really important. And usually a lot of people, I could say like most people out there, they don't really look at conversion rate on their listings. And so you need to be, when you're launching, it's just easy to just look at what's the conversion rate on your listing when you're going up. Usually between, you know, when you're 15% plus, usually it's really good, you know. So then you know that the standard is that, and make sure that you're above everyone else and get really high quality pictures and great titles. So because when you want to get a click-through rate, right, someone just to look at your picture, you just only have the title and a price and also the picture. So make sure you're what Bradley said in honeymoon period, make it sure you have a good price. You may be having the red tag or the green tag, coupon clip and promotional code, promote the sales price to make it enticing. So you have two tags, plus you have a great picture, and then you have great title, and with all the keywords that you need for the keywords that you are, then to get really good, just to get the click-through rate. That's, you know, and when you get in there, you make sure you got a good EBC. That's why you have people have so much. That's why images and 3D imaging and images rendering and also the EBCs are all important, so you can capture them. You know, people don't read anymore. Even the desktop and the mobile version, you can't even see bullets anymore. So it's really important to have to first do the basics, keyword research, find the best keyword, make sure it's in there, and make sure that you have a great image, great EBC. You know, that's why we have the heat mapping for Signalytics, and we have the A-B testing. So you can actually A-B test your images with yours and others. So it's really powerful that way. And you might think this image is great, but then you see how people, with the heat map that we have, you look at it and you can see what people are looking at, what the eyeballs are looking at through the AI, which is 94% exactly how people interact.
Let's see here. How accurate is a CPR number for ranking? Well, first of all, yeah, like there's two different, people don't realize this. There's actually two different CPR numbers for the same keyword in Helium 10. So there's the generic one that we have in Magnet and Cerebro, and that's based on just like an average, you know, but you could actually see the CPR number of your exact product to that keyword if you put it in Keyword Tracker, because in Keyword Tracker, we're taking it to another level, you know, and you know, we don't know what product you're talking about in Magnet because it has no product in there. But if you have your product and the CPR or in Keyword Tracker, we're looking at your title density, like how many, you know, do you have that keyword in your title? How many people on page one have it in their title? We're looking at how old your listing is. Like if you're in the honeymoon period, it's going to take less CPR than if you have like a 2 or 3 year old listing. So yeah, it's fairly accurate when I test. How many categories have 10 bullet points allowed? I would have to say, I don't know. Like the coffin shelf, we can have 10 bullet points, but you know, the other ones, you know, our egg tray, you know, you can't have 10. So like it goes, it's not even by category. Sometimes it's by subcategory. Sometimes even product. It's really weird how Amazon works sometimes as far as that goes. But my prediction is that most categories eventually will all have the 10 bullet points. And how would you use them for indexing and ranking? The one thing I haven't tested, and I've always been meaning to test this, is you know, before, you remember, Howard, how before, regardless of how many bullet points there are, it was only the first like 1,000 characters that could be indexed. And then if you have more, but what I haven't tested is if you have 10 bullet points, if it's still only 1,000 capped, or if they give you more for indexing. Have you tested that yourself, Howard? I haven't tested it.
I haven't tested it, but from what I remember, I was, well, at least what I've heard is the first 1,000 characters within the first 5 bullets I added together, you know?
So, that was what I always
So I haven't tested. I love to test stuff, but recently it's been really, really busy and stuff like that. But I'm going to start testing and having more blogs articles out there. And you'll see some new blog articles that we have. We have like 4 out right now. I'm just going through it, making sure it's great. And then we can send it out. I'll send it out as soon as possible so everyone can see. It's about the A9 too as well. Yeah.
Cool.
Is there one question? So any other thing? So CPR, the second CPR, which is the when you put your product in there, you get you first look at the time of product was launched. You're looking at the title. Are you looking through the listing builder? I mean, the listing optimization score to bring it in to
No. I haven't seen. Because, you know, the Helium 10 listing optimization score kind of has nothing to do with Amazon. That's just like what Amazon sellers is best practices. Yeah. So like we never tied that to the score or to the CPR. But the things that we're looking at for the keyword tracker CPR is if that keyword is in the title of this listing that you're trying to do, how many times it's on page one of the other listings on that page, and then the age of your listing, you know, like if you're like within like the first month or the 2 months or 3 months, or is it like some 3-year-old listing? Speaking of age, if you'll excuse me, since I am so old now and have health problems, I'm like one of those old people who has all these pills, so it's time to take my old man pills here. So keep talking while I try not to die.
Brad, are you older than me? I don't know. I think
I'm 78, November 78. How about you?
So I am, that's exactly my wife's birthday, November. Oh, really? Yeah, of 78.
November what?
November 30th.
Okay. So yeah, I'm November 9th. So
but I'm older than you. I'm older than you. My birthday was July 10th, 78.
Okay. So we're all almost the same age.
I don't know.
You better be careful, Howard. You saw what happened to me. It can happen to you.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's going crazy out there. They're getting younger and younger and getting heart attacks. But we're horses in the Chinese. When we come to the Chinese, like animal, me and you and my wife is horses. So we like
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we like to travel. Supposedly. Well, that's given. Bradley always travels everywhere.
But now, I have to make a new strategy. You know, with that Maldives, we've been talking about the Maldives honeymoon strategy. So every 50 episodes, I go to the Maldives to film it. So like the first time I broke the news, and not break the news, like I created my fake name here of Maldives honeymoon strategy was episode 200 of the Serious Sellers podcast. And now every 50 episodes, I give an update on the Maldives honeymoon strategy. So 250, 300, and we just had 350. So maybe for 400, Howard, you and your wife need to come to the Maldives with me. And now I need to make a new, I just traveled to Boracay in the Philippines, another very like nice island place. So I was like, maybe I need to make the Boracay Blitz. I need to make a new strategy, so I'll have another reason to travel, you know, more.
Yeah, we could talk about it. Like Pakistan and the Maldives and stuff like that. All the trips. Yep. Yeah,
we'll have the Lahore listing optimization, or you know.
for sure.
Yeah, awesome. So okay, so let's wrap up. And the final thing like we have in our podcast is like, what is the fun fact, like what is the most funniest thing happened to you in your Amazon journey? It is like same, like you have the TST, we have the fun fact.
Yeah, well, when it's talking about the Amazon journey, a funny thing, and it almost has nothing to do with Amazon, but it has to do with Pakistan, actually. The funniest thing that happened, at least in the last year, you know, my memory is bad now, so I can't remember too much. But when I went to Pakistan last, I also went, you know, I gave a speech in Peshawar, but I also went because AMZ One Step is a big agency that I've known for a while, and I know its CEO is Saddam Hassan, and he was getting married. He had a wedding in Peshawar when I went there. That was why I chose that date to go to Peshawar. And so there's a wedding, you know, I got the invitation and the wedding hall, I forgot what it's called, but like, it was like a woman's name, like let's just say Cindy Wedding Hall or something like that. It was on the invitation. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is where I am doing my speech with the enablers in the same wedding hall the next day. I was like, wow, what a coincidence. So I was like, I know exactly where this is. So I went to the night of the wedding. I went there. You know, I was like, I'm supporting my Amazon brothers here wedding. And so I was there and, you know, it's like men on one side and women on the other side. So I was staying in the middle because I was waiting for somebody to come out and get me. And I was waiting there and waiting there for like 45 minutes at this wedding hall. And then finally somebody comes out like, oh, you know, why don't you come in to the men's side? And so I went in there. I was like, man, I don't know anybody here. This is weird. Mm-hmm. And then so somebody said, hey, whose wedding are you here for? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's Saddam Hassan. And they're like, who? I was like, yeah, can you show me a picture? Like the groom's father of this wedding came to me. He said, can you show me a picture? I was like, yeah, here. He's like, that's not my son. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I in the wrong wedding? So what happened is in the same city, there is two wedding halls with the same exact name. And I went to the wrong one. So they offered me food there and everything. But I was like, no, that's all right. Thank you. I need to get to my friend's wedding. So my Amazon funny experience is I got to go to two Pakistani weddings in one night. Because I went to the wrong one.
so like I was like the enablers also invited me to go and speak in Pakistan too, but I just haven't been to Pakistan at all. So, but like I'm trying to learn more about the Pakistan and stuff, like the culture and the language, but it's really hard for me because I'm really bad with names already. So you're telling me to learn another language, kind of. So I'm like so old, I don't think I can learn anything anymore. So even for me, like trying to learn new stuff is like really hard. I'm not sure about you, Bradley. Do you think it's hard for you learning new stuff?
Yeah, it's hard. So I only learn one thing. I mean, I know some basic, you know, things, but you know how on the, you know how Manny used to close the podcast, the AMPM podcast, or he would open it. And then I did the same thing on the Serious Sellers podcast where I would say, how cool is that? Pretty cool, I think. So I think I learned how to say it is kitna cool hai kafe cool merkashia. Something like that is how I learned to say it right there. But yeah, it's kind of a difficult language to learn.
Since we have a lot of Pakistan employees and stuff, my brother, which is a marketing director for us, he actually knows how to speak some Pakistani words, you know. So I'm like so jealous.
No, yeah, you don't need to. Once you come here, I'll make you learn some basics at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw one person have one more question there. I can't see their name because it just says Facebook user, but they said, when is Helium 10 going to be out for UAE? It is out. It got out last month. Yeah. KSA market, not yet. Yeah. So if you guys are interested in KSA market, you know, we base everything that we do based on how many customers are asking for it. So if you guys are interested for Singapore or KSA or any of the other places that Helium 10 doesn't do, make sure to send your email in and we'll take care of it. But yeah, UAE. You know, Cerebro, Magna, Keyword Tracker, it's all active now.
Yeah. So basically, KSA has a huge population of Pakistan. And like, there are so many people who are already learning Amazon. And like recently, Amazon like is pretty much active there, you can say. The sellers are active. Mm-hmm. And they are like starting to work into KSA. So yeah, I must say like there is a huge market there.
All right. We'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, when I went to Dubai, I also like met a lot of, we had a little meetup, right, Zeeshan, with some Pakistan people, and we actually had dinner and it was kind of fun. I'm still waiting for that video to come out.
All right. So, okay. So like we have, if you do not have any more questions, then like we will conclude. And thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you, Bradley. Thank you so much for taking out your time and like sharing the strategy with us and some cool stuff as well.
Last thing though, Chen, do you have a US visa?
I do not have currently, but I can apply.
Howard, let's like try and give him a letter or something, because what I'd love to meet you in person actually over here. You know, of course, me and Howard will go to Pakistan, but we've got the Sell and Scale Summit in September in Las Vegas. And, you know, I know there's going to be some people from Pakistan coming, like for example, Saqib from the Enablers, he's actually going to be speaking on stage there. But we would love to, you know, have you come out and we can meet you. And if you need like a letter or invite to the event, you know, we could take care of that. But anybody else out there listening, make sure to come to Sale and Scale Summit. You know, it's not just Saqib who's speaking. We have a lot of great speakers there. Kevin King, Gary V is even going to be speaking there. So you guys can check out saleandscalesummit.com for more details. But let's get as many people out there as possible from Pakistan to come out. And then what do we say? Like, they taught me how to say, it's like Pakistan Zindabad, right?
Zindabad, yeah. Yeah,
there we go.
What does that mean?
Like, it's like a Mexican, like say Viva Mexico or something like that. It's like like a proud thing.
Zichan, make sure you remember, teach me that.
yeah, for sure. Also, I'll be in touch with you or regarding the visa. If I need any kind of order, then let me have some like information regarding that, and I'll get back to you.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah, please continue.
Oh no, just maybe even Sean could come to LA too while he's at it, and we could go toward the Helium 10 side.
Yeah, Vegas is not that's only like 4 hours drive.
Yeah, it's not
Vegas
far
from LA.
You could go to Helium 10 office.
Yeah, no way. Driving is not like really hard stuff for me because I travel to my office 4 hours a day.
What?
Each day. Yeah.
That's terrible. Oh.
Yeah. So 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours like coming back to home every day, 5 days a week.
You need to teach them about a remote office.
We have some remote people out there. But it's more of building culture and stuff like that. It's more fun that way. Too, yeah. Go ahead, Zishan.
Yeah, so all right. So let's wrap up. Thank you. Thank you again, Bradley. Thank you so much for coming in today. And thank you, Howard, for joining us today as well.
No problem, guys. Thank you, guys.
See you later.
All right. Bye. See you later. Bye.
Do you want your product seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast. Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tye. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.